Well, it happened. 12 hours ago, the federal government went into partial shutdown mode. 800,000 workers furloughed, services curtailed, national parks closed, EPA virtually shuttered, E-Verify suspended. It goes on and on. Coming up on Up to Date, Steve Kraske talks with Congressman Emanuel Cleaver and Kevin Yoder about the latest negotiations between Republicans and Democrats and factions within the Republican Party. Later in the hour, we'll examine the disputed origin of Samuel Clemens' famous pen name and learn what he would have said about the federal government shutdown. It's all on Up to Date after this hour's news.
Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The federal government shut down early this morning for the first time in about 20 years. Lots of finger-pointing going on this morning. Democrats blaming Republicans and Republicans blaming Democrats. This morning we'll get a view from two members of Congress from our area. Later on this hour, the man from Missouri, Mark Twain, how he got his name, and it's not what you think, and the second installment of Twain's autobiography. This one, like the first, spans more than 700 pages, and critics say it's just a hoot of a read even today. But first up, a government shutdown, as seen from the vantage point of two area members of Congress. Joining us, Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. He's a Democrat from Kansas City. He's joining us right now. Congressman, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Steve.
And also with us this morning, in just a few minutes, Kansas Congressman Kevin Yoder. He's a Republican from Overland Park, and he's just joining us as well. Congressman Yoder, nice to have you, too.
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning, Steve.
I want our listeners to react to this government shutdown as well. Who do you blame? How is it affecting your life? What do you make of all this? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, uptodate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at @KCURUpToDate. Well, gentlemen, we can point fingers, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Congressman Cleaver, how big a failure is this by the federal government, at least from your vantage point? What do you think?
Well, I think it's terrible. I think the American public is already weary of the shenanigans of Washington. And this simply pushes the approval numbers down. I don't know if we can go below zero. I guess we can go minus. But I think it's absolutely horrible, and in the end, there will be no beneficiaries from the shutdown. And I guess I should mention the last shutdown cost $1.4 billion, according to the CBO.
Hmm. Congressman Yoder, what do you make of this shutdown? I mean, is it worth it? I mean, is this fight over Obamacare and whether it should be implemented now or delayed, is that question worth a government shutdown from your vantage point?
Well, I'm heartbroken over the fact the federal government is shut down this morning. I think it's a failure of both parties to work together to solve big problems, Steve. You know, we have lurched from crisis to crisis in this town over the last few years, from debt ceiling default to fiscal cliff the shutdown. Now we've got another debt ceiling debate coming up in a couple weeks, and so this is a symptom of the two parties' inability to work together, and there's plenty of blame to go around. And certainly I know many people are mad at the Republican Party. We're receiving calls on both sides, so some folks saying, hey, stand your ground, keep the fight, and other folks saying, hey, you need to work together. I believe we need to work together to find a solution. I think that the differences we have over health care, the differences we have over budgets and spending in the economy, they are all workable. And part of the deal is, Steve, you have to be able to talk to one another and try to find solutions. I'm sitting here actually right next to Congressman Cleaver. I'm in his office in Washington, D.C., and I'm guessing we've talked more this morning than Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner have talked to each other, or Harry Reid and John Boehner. And so this is a shutdown that I didn't want. I'm terribly heartbroken and disappointed that this is where we are, and I'm hopeful that in the coming hours, cooler heads will prevail and our leaders will actually listen to the country.
Congressman Yoder, if that's the case, if you want to avoid a shutdown, why did you vote yesterday again to avoid a shutdown, but only in exchange for a delay of Obamacare? Why cast that vote, knowing it would lead to this?
Well, I voted yes on every opportunity we've had to keep the federal government open. So there is no other alternative bill that's before the Congress, Steve.
Yeah, but Kevin, you vote for keeping the government open, but you're attached to that same idea is a delay of Obamacare, which you know the Democrats won't accept.
Well, look, Steve, we have a difference over this issue, and I think we need to be able to discuss openly the importance of resolving that. You know, initially, many people in this country, I would say, you know, majority of the country still opposes the health care bill. They want us to completely eliminate it. They want us to completely defund and delay the bill forever.
Yeah, the polls on that front are very mixed. Congressman Yoder, those polls are very mixed on that question.
Well, sure. At best, it's 50-50. I don't know where
maybe even. But the polls do say very clearly, there's a new one out this morning. I posted it to the Star's political buzz blog saying that, hey, you know, Americans vastly oppose a shutdown in exchange for Obamacare by 3-1. They think it's a bad choice.
Right. And, Steve, I don't support a shutdown. I don't know that anybody – I know Emmanuel doesn't support a shutdown. I don't either. I certainly don't support a default on our debt either, Steve. But yet Emmanuel and I both voted against raising the debt ceiling 2 years ago, and I don't think you interpreted that both Emmanuel and I wanted to default. We just disagreed with the product that was before us. And so I look at every vote that we have before us at distinctly to determine what I think is in the best interest of the country. I looked at the vote we took last night, Steve, which did just two things. It did three things. It kept the federal government open until December 15th. It fixed what many of us believe, although this is in dispute, what many of us believe is a special exemption for members of Congress under Obamacare.
Yeah, right.
And it delayed the individual mandate the same time we're delaying the employer mandate. If you'll recall, Steve, the president delayed the employer mandate for a year. And I think it is at least reasonable for the rest of the country to say, wait, we've delayed it for employers. Why can't individuals have a delay as well? You can let the exchanges keep building. You can let all this keep going. But those are reasonable positions. We're no longer talking about defund or totally eliminate. We're talking about, is there a middle point at which people who are conservative in this country can have a seat at the table as well?
Congressman Cleaver, why not delay the implementation of Obamacare even for just a few months to meet the Republicans halfway on this issue to avoid this shutdown that we're all experiencing this morning?
Well, for two reasons. One, according to the CBO, it will cost billions of dollars because of all of the mechanics that have already been put in place, and to reverse it would do enormous economic damage. Number two, if we are wanting to delay this to fix it, I agree with the need to repair. In fact, I was on Neil Cavuto on Fox last week. And I said many of the complaints that I have heard about Obamacare deserve to be addressed, and I still believe that. However, that should be done external to keeping the federal government running. And so this is the first time in U.S. history that either the budget or a CR or a continuing resolution had a piece of legislation attached. And when we attach that, it not only is it unprecedented, but it's an exercise in futility. I don't think there's anybody on the planet with an IQ above maybe 1.5 who believes that the president of the United States is going to sign a bill that comes to his desk, even if the Senate had a nervous breakdown in the Senate there, over something that he it wanted so desperately when he came into office.
Yeah. Congressman Yoder, if this is unprecedented, why attach an issue like Obamacare to the continuing resolution to continue to fund the government? Why mix those two ideas? Why muddle the waters this way?
Well, I don't think this is necessarily the best strategy that House leaders have come up with, and was not someone who suggested that this makes the most sense. But I will say, Steve, that there have been countless times over history where Congress and the government has shut down. You know, it happened 17 times since 1970, the bulk of which happened when Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House. And many of those were for things like congressional pay increases. They shut down the government over a nuclear submarine, I think, at one point in the 70s with Jimmy Carter. And so there are all sorts of reasons why these impasses have occurred, sometimes for 12, 15, 20 some days. And so I think it expresses a failure of the parties to be able to discuss this issue openly. I do think one of the problems we have here, Steve, is that both sides have dug in so hard on the health care law that it's hard for either side to admit that they want to compromise on it. One side says we got to fund every penny of it. There's nothing wrong with it. The other side says we got to defund it. The whole bill is bad, and we got to defund every portion of it. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, Steve, is there should be a middle ground here where we could say, while we're funding this legislation, and the president has already said, look, the employer mandate is not ready for prime time, and I'm going to delay that for a year. I'm going to give exemptions to certain groups, that I think it's at least reasonable debate to have about whether we should fund the mandate itself. That doesn't mean you close exchanges. It doesn't mean you stop people from pre-existing conditions from getting health care. It doesn't mean you throw people off 26 years age from their parents' health insurance. But maybe mandating people that they have to get into an exchange today over the next few months that aren't ready to go, maybe we give the individuals the same delay we've given employers. Now, I understand that is not maybe something everyone agrees to, but I think it's reasonable to have that debate as part of the funding conversation we're having. And my hope is today that leaders will come to get cooler heads and find some middle path on that issue.
Congressman Cleaver, is it reasonable?
Well, look, anything that relates to the budget is, I think, something that should be discussed. I want to make sure this is clear. No matter what happened last night, the Affordable Care Act was started this morning. Please understand, the budget has nothing to do with the Affordable Care Act. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nada. My colleague was right, and he and I could probably sit down and work this thing out. But when you look at the previous government shutdowns, and Tip O'Neill did it, and he and Ronald Reagan were very good friends. Not the stuff that you hear on the floor of the House. I mean, they were really friends. But none of them related to a piece of legislation. No. The submarine was something that was debated hotly, but it had to do with spending. The same thing all of the disputes were between related to the budget, to the actual budget.
Yeah.
This is asking to reverse some legislation that the Supreme Court has upheld as constitutional.
Yeah, I want to get to some listeners who are calling in here, but just real quickly, gentlemen, where do we go from here? Are there negotiations going on today, or give us an update as to what's happening right now? Congressman Yoder?
Well, I know the Democrats had a meeting this morning amongst themselves. I think the Republicans are going to have a meeting here this afternoon amongst themselves, and so we continue to be at a point where the parties aren't talking to each other. I'm guessing that there may be an effort to put together some sort of short-term continuing resolution to get us over this impasse. The debt ceiling expires in 2 weeks, and so these issues may end up ultimately getting merged together. But I do think that we're going to have to resolve these issues. And, Stephen, one of the reasons that this is being brought up now is because there are funding provisions in the bill. I have to differ with my friend here that deal with the implementation of the bill. And so it came up, and a lot of people
understand Obamacare
that.
You're talking about.
Yeah, Obamacare. And the House mm-hmm. has the power of the purse. And frankly, these issues should be being dealt with separately. But as you know, Steve, and everyone listening, no bills are passing between the House and the Senate and getting to the president right now. And so there are very few points to have a debate about an issue that matters to a lot of people. My great regret, Steve, is that we're having it after the government's already shut down, mm-hmm. and we should have had our parties working over the last few days together. And frankly, no one's talking to each other. That's why I'm sitting here right now in Emanuel Cleaver's office. We're going to visit here afterwards and figure out, okay, where do we go from here? Let's see if we can push our leaders to get cooler heads and listen to reason.
Lots of phone calls here at 816-235-2888. We're visiting with Congressman Kevin Yoder, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, about this morning's government shutdown. Let's go to Scott from Roland Park. Scott, you're on Up Today. Good morning.
Yeah. Let's assume that the congressman, that would be the congressman from the 3rd District, Congressman Yoder, understands that this is that Obamacare, and I hate to use that term, is settled law. He called it a bill just a few seconds ago, which Republicans tend to do, to try to indicate that there's something there to be decided. His website, pardon me, his Facebook postings and what he just said on the air say that he voted against a government shutdown. That is pure hogwash. And I cleaned that up substantially from my Texas roots. It's a lie. He voted for the shutdown. If you don't send a clean CR over to the Senate, you have voted for the shutdown. As you have pointed out, Steve, there is absolutely no precedent for tying something like this to the budget. I'm tired of the disingenuousness of Republicans in claiming that, oh, both parties aren't talking to each other. The president has made it clear he would not sign a bill. In the old days, you used to hear bills discussed in terms of, well, we need to pass something the president will sign.
Right.
Well, the teabaggers in the House have just, what do you want to say, put a line in the sand or whatever metaphor you want to use. They right. are putting stuff on the table that cannot be agreed to, and then falsely accusing the other side of refusing to compromise.
All right, Scott, I want to get a reaction from Congressman Yoder. Congressman Yoder, Scott's talking to you directly. He's one of your constituents. What do you say to him?
Well, I would say to Scott that while we may have differences in our community about what to do on the Affordable Care legislation that has passed and has been signed by the president, it does not mean that we need to shut down the federal government, and I agree. And I believe there should be better tools in which we could have this debate. I will say, though, that every time a bill has come before Congress in the last few days or the last couple of weeks that would keep government open, I voted yes. There haven't been any other opportunities. And so if we're presented with other legislation, I will consider that at the time. But that hasn't come forward, and I've encouraged leaders to bring other legislation forward. I'd also say that I guess the answer to all this is Republicans should agree to what the president wants, regardless of whether there are strong disagreements. And we've been told a lot of times, Steve, that conservatives that lost the election, right? The president won. Conservatives shouldn't have a voice on this issue. And unfortunately, there's a lot of conservatives out there that feel like the United States House is the only voice they have to voice their frustrations.
But what about the notion, Congressman, what about the notion that, you know, the president, this bill passed, Obamacare, this measure went into law several years ago. The president was reelected last year. Why isn't this debate over by now? Because it keeps coming back over and over again. It's settled law, isn't it?
Steve, there are two issues that we raised yesterday that we asked the Senate to agree to as a compromise. Those two issues are, one, to fix the problem that is related with members of Congress getting a subsidy to buy their health insurance on the exchanges, okay, which is not allowed for any other American, and I think that is a clear majority issue. And the other one is that if we're going to delay the mandate for employers, that we should be willing to delay the mandate for individuals as well, not necessarily shut down exchanges or stop people from pre-existing conditions from getting care, just to say individuals ought to have the same exemptions that employers get as we go through this, because the Health Care Act isn't ready for prime time. There's going to be a lot of glitches. And so in some regards, I would think the president would embrace that. He just delayed the employer mandate for a year. If we were demanding that, then I know some people would say it's already set a law. You can't do it. How did the president delay the employer mandate? Who gave him the authority to do that? I guess he could delay the individual mandate as well. But at some point here, Steve, it all comes back to the fact that people aren't talking to each other. There are clear divisions over where this law is going, and we've got to work them out. I'm hopeful that somehow we get through today's impasse and we can get on to the next issue. But this is not going to go away because it's going to continue to be problems, particularly with the congressional exemption that continues to exist.
You know, Congressman Yoder, just for the sake of the argument, let's just concede that the two questions you just raised about the new health care program are valid. Is it worth it to shut down the federal government over those two questions right now?
Well, I think that's an issue for both sides. And I understand it. Republicans think, look, Harry Reid's, you know, shutting down the government because he's not willing to vote for those two issues. And Republicans are willing to, others are saying, well, the Republicans are willing to shut it down because they're willing to shut it down on those issues. Look, we have an impasse here. It's not going to get anywhere by folks blaming each other. I understand that's what probably a majority of our constituents are doing. I'm sitting here next to Emmanuel. I'm not going to blame him. And I know we're going to have a good dialogue here. I just think to say that when you have a disagreement over one issue, what if we had a disagreement over $1? At some point, you've got to figure that issue out. And I think many people think if you're going to go fund the health care bill and you're going to give Congress a special exemption, that that ought to be not funded as part of the appropriations process.
Okay.
I agree with some of the stuff that Kevin said. But let's deal with this insurance question, because I think that I think the people in leadership and his leadership, not him, his leadership came up with that because they realized that there's a lot of misinformation about members of Congress and
Congressman Cleaver, are they exempt or are they not?
The members of Congress, according to the Office of Management and Personnel, will fit into the Obamacare program because it was presented at the beginning of the bill that if you have insurance and you like your insurance, you keep it. So, you know, the staff up here on the Hill, Republican and Democratic, you know, wanted, most of them wanted to keep that insurance. And there is no, I mean, we get a, just like most employees, we get a contribution from the employer. We have the same insurance in Congress that the postal workers have, that the people who painted our offices have, that people in Kansas City who work at the EPA. We don't have special insurance. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I hate to say this, you know, I found out last night that members of the Republican leadership went to our leadership a couple of weeks ago and asked them if they could help make sure that we are able to keep our insurance like we were told at the beginning.
So, Congressman Cleaver, you're saying that the members of Congress and their families, they are covered by Obamacare.
The members of Congress can enter into the exchanges,
okay,
if they so choose, like anybody else. I mean, if you work at KCUR and you have insurance and you decide that you don't like it, you can enter into the exchange. The same thing is true with me and Kevin Yoder.
Congressman Yoder, do you disagree with that, Congressman Yoder?
Yeah, if I might. The difference here is that Congress actually gets a subsidy to go into the exchanges and buy their health insurance. Mm-hmm. No one else in the country gets that. It wasn't part of the law. Just about a month ago, the administration released that and said that would occur. If you're dropped from your insurance at KCUR and told to go into the exchanges, which you have to under the individual mandate, you cannot, under federal law, then get a subsidy from your employer.
Mm.
It's against the law. And so Congress has gotten a special exemption here. If we're going to be put in the exchanges, we ought to be put in the exchanges just like everybody else, every other individual American who goes in there without an employer subsidy. We're going to get an after-tax or a pre-tax, untaxed subsidy to go buy insurance, and no one else in the country is.
Let's go on to some phone calls here. Diane from Overland Park. Diane, you're on with members of Congress here, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, Congressman Kevin Yoder. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, Kevin is my congressman, and I have a brief comment and then a question for him. I am really disgusted that you voted to shut down the government. And, you know, you're going through all these antics today, as you always do, twisting, oh, it's really nobody's fault, oh, we're at impasse. That's just not true. You voted knowing full well that your vote was going to shut down the government. You could have voted no. So stop this playing with words and dancing around the issue, because I'm disgusted with it. You've also voted repeatedly to defund Obamacare. My kids have, I have two children in their 20s with pre-existing conditions, and I'm really abhorred that you continue to vote about defunding Obamacare, and now you're acting like, oh, people with pre-existing conditions should be on insurance. That's not what you voted for in the past.
Congressman Yoder, why don't you respond to what Diane has to say here?
Well, I guess my first question would be, if I had voted no last night, would the federal government be open right now? Because it wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. There was a bill before us last night that was the only bill that was on the House floor, and I know Diane would have had me vote no on that. The federal government would still be closed today. And so, again, we can say yes or no on how you would have done on these things, but voting no would have also meant the federal government's closed. There has been no clean bill to come before the House, and when that time comes, then we'll take a look at that and visit with constituents on how to move forward on that. Listen, certainly the House has taken multiple votes to defund or delay portions of the Obama health care bill. Seven of those have been signed by the president himself. They passed the Senate. They've had bipartisan support. And so there's this misnomer out there that 42 times the House has voted and there hasn't been any support for that. Seven of the changes have been signed by the president into law. The president himself just delayed the employer mandate. And if we had voted to delay the employer mandate, then I understand folks would say, okay, you're doing that because you don't like the health care bill. The president did it, so it's okay. I guess all I'm saying is there is a middle ground here. Yes, I don't support the health care legislation. That's not going to get to the president's desk. I certainly understand that. And I know our constituents are divided on that issue.
Let me ask this.
There's got to be a middle ground here, and I think one of the middle ground issues is giving the individual mandate delay the same way given the employer mandate delay.
We've gone over time in both of your time allotments here for this conversation. I appreciate it. So let's wrap it up with this. You know, is it time to elect new leaders in both the House and the Senate out there who would shake up the dynamics in D.C. and perhaps bring a new sort of atmosphere to these negotiations? You know, maybe is it time for Harry Reid to go, Nancy Pelosi, and then John Boehner and Mitch McConnell in the House and the Senate on both sides? Do we need a reshuffling of the deck here, of the pack here, in a sense, Congressman Cleaver?
Something needs to be done. As I've said, and people have gotten angry with me, I think I like John Boehner. He's a decent guy. But John Boehner, when he's not with his conference, will tell you that there are about 50 people over there who are kamikaze representatives. I mean, they see things one way, and they're not going to back up even if it does damage. Now, Kevin and I agree. If Boehner would send over bring to the floor a bill that does one thing which we desperately need, and that is to continue the funding, Republicans and Democrats will approve it, and he knows that. But he knows that if he does that, his speakership, I think, will be jeopardized.
Congressman Yoder, is it time for new leadership?
Well, I think if you could get an agreement that all four would go, both parties would probably agree to that as a way to...
Maybe it's time.
To dispel that. I know certainly folks like their own leaders, but they're frustrated with the other parties. And we do need new leadership, I think, of both parties in Washington, D.C. This isn't working the way it's supposed to. And I know people are frustrated. I'm frustrated. I will tell you, though, Steve, I've worked very hard, and I know not every caller agrees, but I've worked very hard to try to be open-minded and listen to both sides in an environment which is very difficult to do that. Steve, I didn't sign the Grover Norquist Pledge.
Yeah.
I was one of six Republicans last time. I voted for Violence Against Women Act. I voted for the student loan bill. And so there have been many, many times where I have joined across the aisle with my friend Mr. Cleaver here to do good things. This is one of those moments where the process is broken down now. And my hope is I'm in Emanuel's office right now. We're going to sit here and visit after this. My pledge to the voters is that I will do everything I can to stop this government shutdown, get us working together, and get this fixed.
Okay.
Immediately, and I'm going to work to that today and the coming days.
Well, as always, I want to thank both of you for taking time and taking some tough questions here. Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, a Democrat from Kansas City, Kansas Congressman Kevin Yoder, a Republican from Overland Park. Thank you both very much.
Good to be with you.
You bet.